tomorrow, a top 10 matchup in the shoe. Today, Josh Pate, the host of the Late Kick with Josh Pate from 24/7 Sports, is with us to talk about tomorrow's game. He also talks about things he's witnessed inside college football stadiums this season and what makes his college football show unique. All that and more in this episode of Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Friday, November 19th in the year 2021, and this episode of Locked On Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Before we bring in Josh Pate, one quick reminder, we will have a regularly scheduled post-game instant reaction show at the conclusion of tomorrow's game. You can watch it on youtube.com/LockedOnBuckeyes. Hit that subscribe button, hit that bell so you're notified when we go live, and you can watch it on my personal Twitter page as well. Just follow at JStevens07. I'm going to back away, bring in Josh Pate, and just talk ball. Talk about college football, a sport that we both love. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, it is Josh Pate. He is the host of the Late Kick with Josh Pate, a part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Josh, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I can smell this fake wood behind me. I can smell that, and I can smell a big weekend on tap in Columbus, Ohio. And that's actually real. The second thing I said is real.
It is. It is real. Big weekend. A lot of people are excited. Game day will be there. The Renaissance Tour will be there. Before we get to the Renaissance Tour, let's talk a little bit about your show, what the idea behind it is, where it originated, and what makes your show unique.
Well, I was hauling fabric, to be honest with you. About a decade ago, I was working in a fabric warehouse down in Columbus, Georgia. I listened to talk radio every day. It was kind of before podcasting became huge. Otherwise, I would have been listening to podcasts nonstop. And I didn't even have the right college degree, much less any experience or any end to the business. I didn't have any relatives or friends or family. I had no connection. I had no shot. And so I would badger, I mean like Wisconsin level badger, the local PD, the program director at the ESPN radio affiliate in Columbus, Georgia, where I was working, to let me just come in and observe. I didn't even ask to be on air. I just wanted to observe. And I did. He let me for about 2 months and kind of took me under his wing a little bit. But there was an absence one day. One of the co-hosts called in sick. And so they just threw me on air with like 5 minutes notice and never took me off. I was on there about two and a half years and got a call from a television general manager one day. He said, I got a crazy idea. I listen to you every day. You've never heard me, but I've listened to you every day. Do you want to come do a college football show on TV for me? I said, yeah, I'm not qualified, but yeah, I'll come do it. And so we did it on local TV down there in Columbus. I also became the sports anchor there, elevated to news anchor. And I was loving it, man, because I'd never been in TV or radio before. However, as you well know, you do not own your IP and you do not own your content when you are working in that field. That's the trade-off. And so it came time to renegotiate contract. And I knew YouTube and Facebook had just started to offer live streaming. Mm-hmm. And I knew that was the landscape changer. That was the barrier of distribution and overhead being torn down to our benefit as creators. And so I wanted to own my own stuff. And for obvious reasons, they said no. And so I worked out a deal with them where I'd work as an independent contractor. I still anchor news for fractions on the dollar they were paying me salary-wise. The trade-off was worth its weight in gold. And the trade-off was they gave me that entire TV studio 3 nights a week in order to build and then distribute my own YouTube channel out of. And it took about 2 years, and we got that thing. It was called a Late Kick then, just as it is now. We got it off the ground, and CBS and 24/7 called. And so that's how I got here. But look, the main vision behind it is I'm a college football fan, and I know that there is a precious lack of what I view as high caliber, quality, in-depth coverage of our sport at the national level. And so I just simply saw a void, and I try and fill it. That's our entire premise behind the show.
I think you've done a phenomenal job filling said void. And what are some things that you did on Tuesday's show, on Sunday's show, to kind of fill that void where fans are looking to get some type of coverage for college football that they may not get other places?
Yeah, well, the first thing is listen to fans because I'm one of them. Speak the language of the fan because I'm one of them. Now, you can say that, and it sounds very cliche. Here's what I mean by that. When do you think the last time was that anyone sitting in a studio in Connecticut, 1,500 miles away, actually perused a message board, actually listened to local talk radio, actually interacted back and forth with an individual or group of fans? The answer is they don't. And so how do you really know? How do you speak the language? How are you on the ground? How do you communicate? You don't. That's the second part. That's the follow-up. That's what I used to observe. I looked at people wearing, you know, suits, sitting around a desk a long way away. I said, they're really professional. It's really well produced, but they don't know us. They don't know me, and they don't know the intricate details of the programs because they don't dive deep enough to where you have to go to find that information. So just last night, since you mentioned last night's show, we were talking about the LSU coaching search. That's what we did last night. I said, forget about looking at the latest updates on CBSSports.com, where I work, or ESPN.com. I want to know what fans think. I want to know what a guy who owns a multi-million dollar rental property complex in Baton Rouge and is a big-time booster, I want to know what he thinks, because that's where the information is.
The information is there, and a lot of fans I've realized just from the growth of your show. I watched it briefly when it was independent before going to 24/7 Sports and Viacom and all that stuff that goes in there with who the show is with now. The show hasn't changed. Only thing that's changed is who is behind it, a big network, and who is promoting it and pushing it. That's about it. Your show has been exactly the same, and that's one thing I love about your show is it's always been you. It's always had the same mission you've had behind it the entire time.
Lynn, let me tell you why that is. Because the day that I spoke to Joel Cox here, who was the guy who was the intermediary behind Viacom and 24/7 negotiating with me, I told Joel, I've got a YouTube channel here that's on the precipice of earning me some really good money. I mean, I had already doubled and tripled the salary I had been making as a news anchor. So I was going to be comfortable. I was going to be fine remaining independent. And I told Joel, I understand the benefit of having that rocket ship of those letters CBS behind your product, but I'll only do it if I maintain executive production status. And I had certain other guarantees from a creative standpoint that I had to have. I also told him I've got to be able to go anywhere I want to every Saturday. And they said, done, done, done. And true to their word, these folks have been great to me. I have never once had anyone from CBS or 24/7 so much as suggest me putting something in my show, much less demanding me put something in my show. We have had total and full creative control because the last thing I wanted to do is change a formula that was working for us.
This episode of Locked On Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did somebody say Locked On Buckeyes watch party? Ba-da-ba-ba-da. I'm loving it. Yeah, that's one thing that I do appreciate, and I think that fans have loved as well. But the Renaissance Tour is something that you've mentioned, you getting to go where you wanted to go, where you want to go each week. And it's been fun, not just from the stuff you put out on Twitter, also the things you put out on Instagram. A different, unique way to look at not just a college football game, but a college football Saturday experience from your arrival to things that go on inside to you handing out Academy gift cards when there's a field storming and you pull the fans back off, they go back on. Everything here is unique, and the Renaissance Tour is unique as well. Where did the idea behind this type of tour come from?
I'll tell you. So there was in 2015, I want to say it was, there was a moment that I observed and it led to what I do today. I want to say it was Bama versus Florida. This was when Kiffin was the offensive coordinator there still. Mm-hmm. And he was up for some big jobs. So I'm working local news down in Columbus at the time. So I'm credentialed to the games, and I'm at the SEC championship game, and Bama wins. And so, you know, there's been this promise publicly from Lane Kiffin. I'm not going to talk to anyone until after the season's over. Well, I got to observe what that meant. So here's what I observed. I'm walking kind of next to Kiffin. So we're kind of walking off the field at the same time. His agent, Jimmy Sexton, who is everyone's agent, is standing down the tunnel where I could see him, but the TV cameras couldn't see him. He's got a phone in his hand, like this right here. Mm-hmm. He hands it to Lane as soon as the surface of the playing field, and Lane Kiffin takes the call. He may have been talking to LSU. He may have been talking to Florida International or Atlantic. I don't know who he was talking to. My point is, no one ever saw that. No one knows that happened. I know because I observed it. So I thought to myself, if I ever get a national platform, as much as I can, I'm going to give people access to the stuff they don't get to see. I've got this thing, this cell phone in my hands, and I've got these eyeballs that see things. I'd want to see that if I were a fan. I'd want to see what it's like outside a locker room before a game. I'd want to see what the insides of these stadiums look like. I'd want to see what's happening before they open the gates to the public and after they sweep the public out of the stadium. I'd want to see all that stuff. And so I try and show folks basically the same things that I get to see now that I used to always be curious about as a fan, because that is still all I really am. I'm the same as you. They just put a lanyard around my neck occasionally that lets me go some different places. That's the only thing that's changed.
That's it. That's it at all. What are some of the things that have stood out from the Renaissance Tour this year? I hinted at what happened last week, but this week 12? And you've been at numerous games throughout this season.
Yeah. So the first thing that stood out is something I'm not used to yet. I still think of our show as an independent show, local, down in mm-hmm. Columbus. I have not grasped the concept that we have a truly national audience. Mm-hmm. So what's really knocked me backwards is every time we go on the road, I'll be in airports, I'll be in a rental car place, hotel lobbies, absolutely walking through tailgate areas at stadiums, and the show is recognized constantly. I had last week, I'll tell you, I was on the field last week before the Oklahoma-Baylor game and had coaches coming up. This has happened all year. Just casually talking about the show in a free-flowing manner and using terminology that's pretty inside baseball on the show that you could only know if you listen a lot. And so I hear from coaches all the time, not just fans, like coaches, which to me is a higher level of validation. Because if it's good enough for them, then I think we're clearing the bar times 10 as to what qualifies as, I think, a high-caliber product. But the other thing that stood out to me is finally being able to get out of the South and truly travel nationally. Because I used to go to all the Southern venues, but this year I've been able to go to Michigan State. I've been able to go to Penn State. Went to OU Dallas in the Cotton Bowl out in Texas. I'll be in Ohio Stadium this Saturday. And so that, and being able to see this sport truly nationally for the first time, that's what stood out. And it kind of reaffirms the concept that I have to go back home sometimes and tell my brethren down south, they do take this thing seriously in places that extend north of the Mason-Dixon line and west of the Mississippi River.
What's been your favorite place to be this year?
So I think the best environment that I've seen so far was the OU Texas game. That was an insane place, and it wasn't a true home game, obviously. But man, I cannot put into words what that was like and what that environment was like. But also early in the year, I got to see Auburn go into Penn State for the whiteout. And that's when Penn State's still undefeated. So they've got, you know, their entire goal set still in front of them. That was very memorable. A couple of weeks ago, going to Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M is the best kept secret in college football. It's like being on another planet is the way that I describe it. Everything there is unique unto every other place in college football. Some people make fun of it. Some people celebrate it. I'm just telling you, as a neutral guy, it is unique. I think that's what makes the sport great. But also, when you go there and you've never been there before, your reaction when you leave will be, I cannot believe that this place is not talked about more. I hear about LSU all the time. I hear about Bama all the time. Why aren't they talking about that place more? And I don't know what the answer to that is, but it is a different world when you go out there. And I say that complimentary. It's a different world when you go out there.
How does the whiteout at Penn State compare to OU Texas at the Cotton Bowl?
It's a different, so it's a different dynamic entirely. It's a good question, because I had my, I think it was my sister or someone who asked that, because they had heard me just rave about both of these places. And they said, well, okay, which one is better, the Whiteout or OU Texas? And I said, yeah. I said, what are you talking about? I said, they both are. It's just, it's different. So at OU Texas, which I had never been to before this year, the crowd dynamic, the split crowd dynamic, I had only seen in Jacksonville with Georgia, Florida. Mm-hmm. So it has that dynamic to it. The difference is, so first off, there is gunfire after every good thing that happens. So you got to have the earplugs, because there is a celebration that involves gunfire for OU. There's an entire cannon that fires for Texas. So you got to have your head on a swivel, because if you're standing near that stuff, you look like an idiot, because you just, I'm very jumpy. So I jump. But it's if you're standing in a particular end zone, here's where it's different. Georgia, Florida is split long ways. And so either place you're standing, if you're standing in either end zone, you have the fan base to the left and right of you. Well, at OU Texas, it's split down the middle 50-yard line. And so what you hear is when there's a play at the 25-yard line and a rush end comes off the edge and he's about to get pressure on the quarterback, you hear, wherever those defensive fans are, you hear a sudden, and then the ball goes in the air. And then there's that momentary silence. And then the ball's caught, and the entire opposite end of the stadium goes crazy. But since you're standing a little ways away from it and it takes sound some time to travel, it sounds so weird to where you could close your eyes. And once you get the feel of the game, you understand what just happened. And so, I mean, it kind of gets caught up in minutia, but that's the difference. At Penn State, it's just a sustained roar when the opposing team's on offense. And then it is completely the opposite when Penn State is on offense. And I will tell you this. I've been in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night, which is among the craziest atmospheres in all of sports. And I've been at Penn State on a Saturday night. Both places are rabid. The difference to me with Penn State is it's a lot more choreographed. The audience is a lot more involved play to play, series to series. Whereas at LSU, it's just insanity. It's just uncontrolled chaos in a good way.
We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, one that you'll enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low calorie, low carb, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. Another great thing about Built Bar, there are so many mouth-watering flavors, including coconut and raspberry and mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and even cherry barcia. This month, Built Bar is coming out with new limited-time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So check their website often. You don't want to miss out. Go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and it's all one word, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. You'll be in Columbus this weekend, big game. You got Michigan State coming to town. Some fans, and I know myself, I go back to the 2015 game when Michigan State won that one last-second kick. The kicker had the windmill, which still annoys me to this day. Why Columbus? But then also kind of a two-parter here. Why Columbus? But then what intrigues you about this matchup?
I think back to, what would it be? It'd be around the time you mentioned, probably a little before the time you mentioned. You remember when there were those series of really good games between Oregon and Stanford when Chip mm-hmm. Kelly was still out there? Mm-hmm. And Chip Kelly had Oregon flying high. And so everyone was terrified to play him. And Stanford could not have been any more opposite stylistically. But when they played, the point spread was always what you have on this Ohio State-Michigan State game. They had to put a 20-point spread on it, 19 or 20, just because of what Oregon was capable of. But you also knew there's a specific style of play that Stanford has that could just be the kryptonite. And it happened one or two times. So I look at this game, and I see how big the point spread is. And normally I would not be at a game with a point spread this big on it, unless there were just no other options. And I do lean Ohio State in the game. What I wonder is the answer to some questions that are still unanswered about Ohio State for me. And here's the first one. The stage has not been nearly as big for CJ Stroud so far as it will be from this point moving forward. Now, he may respond admirably to that, but we don't know it yet. And what I'm really curious about is, instead of the scenario people expect, which is Ohio State jumps out to an early lead, they control the game, they end up pulling away, what if Michigan State exposes maybe some vulnerability at safety early? What if a couple of play-action deep passes go the Spartans' way and they have the lead early? And then all of a sudden, instead of throwing the ball and being in third down pressure situations and operating out of convenience, what if they're operating out of a little more pressure? You know, what if the mental toughness, or if you got to get some tough yards on CJ Stroud's part, what if the physical toughness is asked of you on a stage that's been bigger? Look, Ohio State could win this game going away, but I think we can all agree those scenarios I just presented, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world to see this confluence of events come together to where it's a dogfight in the second half. At that point, no one cares what the point spread is. It's game on, Big Ten on the line, playoff on the line, and we've seen it play out before.
We have. And when I look at this game, I see Michigan State's offense. I see Ohio State's offense. There's deficiencies on both defenses. And some part of me wonders if the best way for Michigan State to win this game is to slow down have slow, long, drawn-out drives, keep Stroud, Henderson, Wilson, and Jigba off the field so that they are controlling the tempo, controlling the clock, and not allowing this offense to be on the field as much as they have literally in first half of games, not the entire game. They're putting up great. They were up 35-7 really quickly against Purdue, and Purdue's like, wait, we got to change our whole game plan because what we thought was going to work isn't working. The long drawn out drives to me might be a good formula, because I know Michigan State can score fast too. For Michigan State to make this a game for them to win and for them to come out victorious at the end of the matchup.
So I agree with that from about the latter portion of the first quarter on. Mm-hmm. In order for that to work out, not in just a cover, but a win, Michigan State wants to win the game. I think they have to start the game different than they operate the rest of the game.
Yes.
Which is why I think they'll try and pop them early. And I think if they get Ohio State over the top, their best chance to do it is before the game has settled in. And so I think they'll start off taking some shots against them, all with the purpose of getting an early lead and then settling in to where it's first and 10, second 5, third and 2, move the chains, rinse and repeat. Yeah, absolutely. This is the game they want to settle into. If they had their druthers, they would love for Kenneth Walker to have a career high in carries Saturday, and they'd like to be in about that 6 to 6.5 yards per carry range. And if they're in there, then they're in this game at the end. What I don't think they can do, since you mentioned the Michigan game, I don't think they can afford another 30-14 deficit, because I don't think they're pulling out of it, because Michigan did not have the pull-away ability that Ohio State absolutely does.
No, they don't. And the Ohio State pull-away ability – they found ways. Now, the Nebraska game and the Penn State game, those were different. Those defenses did things, some tricky things that messed up the Ohio State offensive attack. But I do think Ohio State and their attack of this Michigan State offense defensively, Ohio State's run defense, and I'm going back somewhere quickly, the Ohio State run defense is one that last week didn't need to do anything because Purdue was not one that was going to throw the ball. You're down, like I said, you're down 35-7 with about 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. The run defense is out the window because Purdue can't run the ball even if they could run the ball, they're not going to run the ball. And so I wonder if the run defense, everyone's talking about the pass defense of Ohio State, Peyton Thorne, what he's been able to do. And that he's amazed me with his play this year. But when you look at the run defense from Ohio State, I think that Kenneth Walker III, this is an attack. This is a game that if he flourishes, this is where you win your Heisman. Not that Michigan game. You're going up against a better run defense, well, a really good run defense this week. And I think that if this is a game for Michigan State to win, it's behind him. You mentioned a career high in carries. That might be the formula, but I have a feeling. Maybe I'm just being a homer. I'm not sure. But I have a feeling the Ohio State run defense is up to the task to slow down the leading rusher in the country.
Here's the other thing to think about. So I agree with you in premise. I agree this is the best run D, or certainly one of the best run defenses he will have faced. Certainly one of the most talented. If you go to that Heisman conversation, which is secondary and should be secondary, it's a team game. But that Heisman conversation, it gets really, really juicy around this time of year because, as it should be, we now have candidates facing each other in games. They may not be on the field at the same time. But I think we can all agree if Michigan State does win Saturday, it will be in large part due to Kenneth Walker, at which point he has obviously thrust himself maybe to the forefront at that point of the conversation, and it's probably come at the expense of C.J. Stroud. And conversely, you get down the road a little ways, you know, if you got a defensive player like Jordan Davis and he wants to win it, well, they can greatly propel his effort in the SEC championship game against Bryce Young. And so, like, I think as muddy as the Heisman looks right now, you've still got losable games for Stroud and Bryce Young. And those are the two front runners right now at the quarterback position. You think it's muddy now, have those two go down and then tell me how muddy it is. Because then if it's not Kenneth Walker, we're talking about the Matt Corrals of the world or who can he pick it? I don't know who gets their name into the equation at that point.
Is this a game? Last question for you. Is this a game that Trevion Henderson, the true freshman running back, can thrust himself back into said conversation?
It would take a monumental effort, but it's also, I'll say it like this. It's the kind of environment that is ripe for someone to come out of nowhere. Because we do not have a predominant front runner. And so if we get to a situation where we're last week, like they're going into the Michigan game or they're going into Indianapolis and people are looking around looking for a reason to vote for someone else, you almost get this anti-authority wave throughout the Heisman votership. I could absolutely see if there was a strong 1-2-3. I think there are three games out there that he could catapult himself up near the top. I also think a defensive player, if Will Anderson for Alabama just totally went off these last three games, it is not out of the realm of possibility for that stuff to happen.
No, it's not. You have the Iron Bowl coming up, and I do know Bo Nix isn't playing, but I do understand that crazy things have happened in that when Alabama has been a big favorite. Josh, this has been fun. I've loved being able to talk ball with you and talk about the Renaissance Tour, little Ohio State, Michigan State coming up this weekend. Where can the good people follow you on Twitter and watch your show, catch it live, all that good stuff?
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I've had a lot of fun. So if you want to watch the show, it's Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. It's on the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. The replays are there all day, every day if you can't watch live. We've also got the Late Kick podcast, wherever you get your podcast. We do a couple of extras there, just podcast only per week. And at Late Kick Josh, Twitter, at Late Kick Josh, Instagram. And I can promise you, Jay, if you have not had enough of me by then, that's a you problem, because that is way too much already.
I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to not just following on Twitter, watching your show, and then also Instagram stories and all the good stuff going on there as well. Josh Pate, thank you so much for coming on Locked On Buckeyes. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me, brother.
And that's all she wrote. Once again, I want to thank Josh Pate from 24/7 Sports for joining us and talking about tomorrow's game. And I really love the stories that he mentioned that he's witnessed inside college football stadiums. Those are the types of things we all want to hear. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. Send your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. Let's get excited. Let's get hype. Let's look forward to tomorrow's game. It's a big game. I have Ohio State winning. Josh Pate has Ohio State winning. The spread is big. Will the game be as big and as wide of a margin as the spread suggests? We'll have to wait till tomorrow to find out.